The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
You went on this show.
You kind of have to keep up with it. It's very intelligent.
It sounds like a scam.
They are not part of the legitimate business world.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
From
the late 80s.
What are you talking about? This is Rolling Stone's number one Beyonce song. According to Rolling Stone. Or I think this one's better. That would be my favorite. Just ask it.
Wait, but is that first song a new one?
No, that's old.
Oh, I'd never heard it before. No. Okay, well, it felt old to me.
Susie Q, you thinking...
I have thoughts. I am, like, ready to dive in. I'm like, that's my favorite Beyonce song. You just played it. I have strong opinions. Love on Top.
Love on Top.
Really?
Absolutely my number one. Yeah. You know, things have changed since Formation, you know, but we're still settling into that. Can't be my favorite yet. But no, yeah, Love on Top is huge for me, and I have strong opinions about its merits against Crazy Right Now. So, sorry for making all the faces.
No, that's great.
I made the right selection.
You did.
Okay.
I'm fired up.
All right, let's say, well, we have Susie Q, who is our guest. She is a performer and sex columnist for San Francisco Weekly. And also we have on the line, we have Michael Stabile.
Of kink.com.
Of kink.com. Love your Michael, are you there? Let's see your. We have him punched up.
Can we punch up Michael?
Okay.
Hello?
There we go, Michael.
All right. Hey, guys.
Okay. You were probably yelling hello, and you were just there in the echo chamber.
It was my mistake.
We were grabbing our whip.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey. Me too.
Yeah, I know. All right, Michael, you and your naughty sight, it's so much fun.
It sure is.
Yeah.
We have a blast over in that castle.
I know. I think the last, I don't know if I talked to you the last time.
We had Peter Ackworth on
last fall.
Oh, yeah.
The whole Cal OSHA porn industry issue first came up,
as far as
we knew. Yeah.
And then I was begging for a tour and an invitation.
That's right. And we missed your Halloween party, I think it was. Because we were on the air.
Yes, but you've been busy.
But you've been good about inviting us back, so thanks.
Let's start with the moment here and the big news. Should porn stars use condoms? California grapples with regulation. Now, Susie Q, you were there.
I was there.
So was Mike.
At this meeting. And you were both there. Okay.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell me from your perspective what the state or OSHA wants? What do they want? And where's the argument?
Okay, here's the thing. So Cal OSHA, the California Occupational Health and Safety Administration, we have the same goal, essentially, to keep workers safe in California, right?
Sex workers.
All workers.
All workers.
They're in charge of all of them. But this particular piece of proposed regulation was for the adult industry. And I believe that the Cal OSHA board had its heart in the right place because they did eventually side with the workers and listen to the adult industry that said, hey, these proposed regulations are not the business, guys. You may think they're going to keep us safe, but they are not. So maybe, just maybe, it's a crazy idea. You should invite some sex workers, people whose bodies are actually going to be on the line here and are going to be using these regulations for a seat at the table. So we can all work together and make some regulations that actually are going to keep people safe as opposed to keep some moralistic, puritanical fantasy safe.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Or it goes, God forbid, underground.
Which was the fear. It
yes.
was these regulations oh, right. were so harsh, and they come with penalties. They come with
extreme penalties. Yeah.
Mike, can you remind me what the top fine was for noncompliance with these regulations?
Sure. We can talk about sort of what it's been historically, and that's been $25,000
for
not using a condom.
I don't have
for not wearing a condom.
Is that per thing that should
production?
Have a condom? Because for a gangbang,
shoot,
that's
yeah.
So
I don't know how it would work in a gangbang. The costs could spiral out of control.
Yeah.
Oof. Wow. Okay, so tell everybody what they wanted, what Cal OSHA wanted, because it's really extreme.
It's super extreme. So the headline that you read that said, should porn stars use condoms or something like that?
Well, yes, but they were getting silly. Weren't they talking rubber gloves and goggles? And
absolutely. I mean, right now, the adult industry does use condoms. There was a Star Trek-themed gangbang at the Armory not too long ago with Ingrid Mouth and Mickey Maude. It was so hot. And they all had condoms. They, you know, she's a condom-only performer, so that was the deal. Wicked Pictures only shoot scenes with condoms. There are condoms on probably every adult set I've ever been on. Not necessarily, you know, people don't always choose to use them. Sometimes they use testing practices or prep drugs or other ways of keeping safe because, as we know, just like the war on drugs, a just say no policy, a just wrap it up policy when it comes to consenting adults, it doesn't always work. So giving people options to stay safe is how we've been doing it for the past 10 years, which has resulted in no onset transmissions right. in a decade. So we were afraid that these regulations that set mandated condoms for not only vaginal and anal intercourse, but also oral sex, as well as...
That would be dental dams.
Dental dams. It doesn't say dental dams in the actual regulations, but...
Okay, saran wrap.
Saran, you know, it works just as well. But basically what they did is they took the... bloodborne pathogens regulations right. that are used in right. medical settings and yes. just kind of like copied and pasted. We're like, yeah, instead of, you know, scalpels, say, you know, penis, it'll be great. And they, you know, kind of did a cut and paste job, not wow. consulting with the industry. And we just came in and said, you guys, you did a really, really sloppy job here. Let us help you. Because we want our industry to be safe as well. We have the same
sure,
goal.
For sure.
Yeah, we should be part of crafting the legislation if there is going to be any.
Exactly.
And, okay. and so it looks to me that they got together in Oakland mm-hmm. and this did not work out by one vote. Am I right?
It was very, very close. Yeah, it was. We needed two votes. In opposition
okay,
of the
yeah,
regulations.
So standard board voted 3-2 to accept the new regulation, but you needed four votes to pass. So it
right.
did not pass.
It did not pass. It did not pass.
Oh, that's perfect.
It was amazing. We didn't think that was going to happen. To be clear, we were there. There were over 100 people from the industry. We were all very emotional. This mm-hmm. was the last stand, really. We've been fighting, some of us, since 2009 on this on campaigns like this.
Okay. 808-0810 is the number, 808-0810. We're talking about the porn industry here in California. Of course, you know it's gigantic. It's just not... you know, Sherman Oaks, it's also NorCal. And I think this gentleman's name, Michael, you could speak to this, Peter Weinstein. Is he the pro-condom extremist guy?
Michael Weinstein, yes.
Okay, yeah. So what is his deal?
I mean, Michael Weinstein's deal is he believes that porn sets a bad message for people in the general public. In particular, he keeps citing children. So I think that in some ways he's like Cal OSHA. His heart is in the right place right. in a weird way. But, you know, because I think he does feel that, you know, I think he looks, as a lot of people do at performance, and thinks, oh, these poor victims, I must come in and save them. And this is something that within the sex industry you see again and again is people coming from outside right. and thinking that they're going to rescue, particularly women. And they have these sort of crusades. And so this is one of them. But what he keeps citing when he's interviewed is he says, you know, this is how people are learning about safe sex. And they're finding out that people aren't using condoms. And if they don't use condoms, then these kids aren't going to use condoms. And we say, number one, these movies are not for kids.
Why is he cute? Yeah, that's a really weird argument. Like, the
it's
children.
A very weird
it's
argument.
Not for children, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I think kids have, I think I know where he's going. I mean, kids have access
sure.
to the internet now all the way we do, so they can see free porn. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, let's continue this because, you know, his thing about 20, and I'm not sure this is his study, 28% of adult film workers have tested positive for chlamydia or gonorrhea.
I can talk to that.
Yeah, okay.
That was a good study that he created.
But, okay, yeah.
I was going to say, that sounds like fiction to me.
And then, well, now wait a second. And then the proposed Cal OSHA rules would also require producers to pay for medical visits for performers and offer vaccines to hepatitis B and HPV. That might not be a bad thing. So let's
right.
just take the break here, and we'll discuss on the other side. We're talking about all things porno in the state of California on KGO 810.
Resh. live and local. He's talking about the things you talk about every day. It's the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Love on top for Susie Q.
Thank you.
And,
it's like a weird
also,
version of it, though.
What year did I say? 2011.
2011.
And also, Michael Stabile from kink.com is my guest, and we're talking about the porn regulations, the Cal OSHA porn regulations that they're trying to enact, which includes things like rubber gloves, goggles, masks, dental dams. I don't know, fingernail polish, did we get everything? I don't know. You know,
boots,
kitty litter.
Kitty litter.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeez, potatoes. I don't know.
Anything that would cover up, you would have to cover up essentially any orifice, obviously, but that includes mouth, eyes. You could have no contact. Mm-hmm. Essentially.
Now, oh, no contact. So you couldn't touch each other?
Not with any like mucous membrane, which includes all the fun parts.
Well, those are the tingly, naughty parts.
I mean, from the way the language is written, like I said before the break, they really just kind of did a cut and paste.
Thing? Yeah.
They did kind of a cut and paste job with the bloodborne pathogens regulations. And so if you read into it, it could include kissing. It really could, based on the language.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Right.
You saliva on saliva. That is bloodborne pathogens for days. So what about Hollywood?
I don't know.
Right.
But
one thing you said that surprised me is that there are a lot of condoms on sets, so you can use them or not.
Absolutely. You know, I've definitely made several scenes with condoms, and I've even made scenes with dental dams and gloves. I've done it. The Crash Pad series, Pink and White Productions here in the Bay Area, has tons of scenes that show safer sex. Michael Weinstein is so concerned about sex education for the weird children watching porn, which they shouldn't be watching porn anyway. But there are plenty of sex education porns out there that talk about safer sex practices.
Well, that's fantastic. But my whole thing was kind of like, look, everybody's getting tested. So you've got this biosphere of people who are cleaner than the typical population. Let them do what they want and regulate in that way. Because who wants to be the, you know, bonehead who brings something from the outside in?
Absolutely.
No one would do that. I mean, I just figure the fraternity, sorority, or whatever already has all of this taken care of.
All right, let's take a call here. We have Chunky from Hayward. Chunky, good evening. You're on KGO.
Hey, Chunky. Hey, guys. Nice to speak to you this evening. I'm a commercial driver with hazmat endorsements. So every 2 years, I have to get a physical, which includes what the Department of Transportation dictates,
right,
which is part of what OSHA is involved in. So it seems to me, instead of OSHA sitting here and stepping in, because God knows nobody from OSHA has a sex life or know what turns people on, instead of doing all of that crap,
you never
why don't
know.
They just, well, that's true. Why don't they just have the sex workers tested like anybody else and make it a policy that if like kink.com, a fine establishment, hire somebody who doesn't have the proper testing and proof they're clean, can't participate in making these movies or any other type of sex industry activity unless they all have medical bills, health, and, you know, of course OSHA can say, hey, every 6 months this has to be done. When you do a shoot, you have to have your card. If you don't, the company's in violation.
Yeah, yeah, it's like SAG-AFTRA. Okay, thank you. Susie Q's nodding.
I think you're onto something.
Safe driving. So there are specific rules about testing.
They are,
right?
And they're way more stringent than every 6 months. Chunky, I love you, but geez, Louise, oh my gosh, no way. I would never walk into a set if somebody had said, yeah, no, here's my test from 6 months ago. I'm fine, baby. No way. No, in the porn industry, we, in order to shoot our self-regulated system, the PASS system, we have to have been tested for not just HIV, chlamydia, gonorrhea, also trichomoniasis, hep C.
Right.
And so it's a big panel, and we have to be tested every 14 days.
Really?
Every 14 days.
Every 14 days.
Every 14
days. Everybody.
Wow. And it's not the HIV test that we get is not the same HIV test that you would get if you just went to Kaiser or wherever your MD would test you for STIs. It's a much deeper test. It's a DNA test. The window of transmission is much smaller than the 30-day window usually associated with the test that you or I would get at our MD. So we're really doing our due diligence. You know, there can always be, you know, and that's something that's been self-regulated. Okay. So we're coming to Kalosha and say, look at all the things we've did. Look at what we did.
Let me go.
And they don't care.
Yeah, that's amazing. And P.S. Screw you, Weinstein. We got this.
We do.
Good Lord.
Let's go to Michael Stabile from kink.com. Michael, it seems in a lot of the gay sex lately with the porno, I don't see condoms.
The gay sex?
I don't know. Can't answer the rest
part
of it.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think part of that is evidence of, so the gay community developed, the gay industry developed separate in some ways from the straight industry. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, because we were hardest hit by the HIV epidemic,
right,
we took a very strict rule, you know, role in relation to condoms. I think that what you've seen lately is a signal of the awareness and use of PrEP, which blocks HIV from being transmitted. It's a medication, or it's a medical protocol most commonly known by the drug Truvada, which actually, if you take it every day, will stop you from getting HIV, even
it's
if
like
you're
birth
exposed.
Control for HIV. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Right, but it's expensive and it's controversial.
Right? Well, it's controversial because of Michael Weinstein.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Well, you'll probably see
a trend. What he's done is he has said with PrEP, he's like, well, this is just essentially for sluts.
Okay. But I want to get to it. Is he making it impossible to get doctors to write prescriptions for this drug, Truvada?
No, but he has been, he's been making it sort of a shame-based thing. Like, if you're taking PrEP, you should be embarrassed.
He hasn't helped. He hasn't helped.
And he also has a lot of weight. I mean, he runs one of the largest AIDS HIV organizations in the world. And people are afraid to cross him. He has gotten into public fights with the SF AIDS Foundation, mm-hmm. with the LA Commission on HIV, with sort of groups across the country. He's sort of an outlier. And so it has been harder. You know, if he had gotten behind this and said, you know, listen, we really believe in this medication, we really want to get it out there, it really works, a lot more people could be using it. What he's done instead is he's taken out national ads that say, it doesn't work. You know, it's not for, you know, responsible people.
Okay.
And as a result, doctors don't know about it, and patients are sometimes afraid or embarrassed to ask for a prescription.
Right. All right, I got to take a break here for the news. When we come back, we'll talk about what is going on and what's going to happen if Kalosha institutes all of this silliness with these extreme regulations for, well, porno actors and actors and actresses and the industry itself here in the state of California. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
KGO brings you the cruise of a lifetime. Join KGO's celebrity chef Ryan Scott, also known from TV's Top Chef Rachel Ray and Food Rush fame, on a spectacular culinary cruise aboard the luxurious Oceania ship Riviera. Our friends at Frost Travel have arranged an array of exclusive culinary experiences just for KGO listeners with Chef Ryan, including a cooking class on board as you sail the Mediterranean and experience ports of call from Rome to Sorrento to Sicily to Venice. Dine like a king as you sail through some of the most amazing places in the world. This incredible voyage for KGO listeners includes the cruise, round-trip airfare, gratuities, shipboard credits, Wi-Fi, and fabulous shore excursions. Priced from only $41.99 per person, double occupancy, or a veranda cabin. Join Chef Ryan Scott for the cruise of a lifetime August 24th. Space is limited. Reserve your place by calling Frost Travel at 800-548-2522. That's 800-548-2522. CST number 2079194-10.
The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
If it matters to you, he's talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be.
for California Let's Dreaming talk about Sex Babies.
That's right.
And my sex, my sexed guest.
I like that.
Did you notice that? That was a Freudian slip. My
sexed sex is, guest.
My sexed is Susie Q. She's a performer and sex columnist for San Francisco Weekly. And also on the line is Michael Stabile from kink.com. So let's talk about the ramifications. If you're just joining us, you know, OSHA was getting involved in this, and they were thinking about, well, you know, what we'd like you to do after February 18th, thank God this didn't happen, gloves, full body cover, goggles, pretty much surgical porn, you know.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And that did not pass. But now, as I was understanding this from Susie Q, Michael, going into the break, that there's going to be a California ballot initiative. Is that a good idea? I mean,
it's
I know November, pot's going to smoke.
Terrible idea.
I mean, pot's going to pass and smoke itself, but yeah.
Yeah, so the ballot initiative is, again, from Michael Weinstein. And what this ballot initiative does, it makes him the state porn czar.
Yeah.
And allows him to monitor all sets, you know, monitor all films, and to file lawsuits when people don't use condoms. What it also does, and this is the most controversial aspect, is it allows private citizens, so you or Heather or me or Susie or whoever else, if we see a film without a condom, we can file a lawsuit.
No. Because America needs
more lawsuits. Right. Yes.
More Mrs. Kravitz is walking around wagging her finger at you. This is horrible. I have to say, don't you think it's like, so let's say I just shoot myself and my husband behind. This is that whole thing of the government getting into your bedroom, I think. And if there's a camera rolling, suddenly it's a set and it's a different.
And at the Cal OSHA board meeting on February 18th, that's exactly what I think made the board members finally listen, is we had two monogamous married couples come and testify. One, a very prominent porn couple, Savannah Fox and her husband, Mr. Fox, super hot, but they just started their own website, right? And they are both professional porn actors. They met, I think, actually at kink.com. And they make beautiful porn together, and they don't use condoms. They're married. You know, they get tested. They have their own things. And then there was another couple that are not famous porn stars. They are webcam amateur models. They only shoot with each other. They do it on the weekends for fun. They have vanilla jobs. They're just pervy exhibitionists, you know, San Francisco folks.
Love this.
And that was actually the argument, even though that's such a small subset of the porn population. I mean, if we're being real, but that was what the Cal OSHA board, I saw them go, wait a second, I'm a married person. I probably don't use condoms if and when I have sex. I don't want the government telling me to use condoms with my wife or husband. That's rude. That's my decision. And that was when we finally got the aha moment of, hey, personal autonomy, like sex, the choices I make as a sexual being are part of my human rights, and the government really shouldn't have a say in that. Now, but we're talking about commerce, right? And that's the argument that Weinstein likes to make. We're not talking about personal freedom. We're talking about commerce. And
that's good imitation of him. Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry. But, you know, there are ways to stay safe. You know, the porn industry is not really arguing, hey, we should be able to do whatever we want. We have the same voice as Michael Weinstein, actually. Well, that's not what we're saying. We've self-regulated for 10 years. You know, condoms are optional on sets. There's all these testing practices. We're doing it, guys.
That's the other thing. It's not like you read like, oh my God, the poor porn stars are dropping like flies because they all get AIDS. That's not what's going on.
There are 50,000 new transmissions in the United States every year of HIV. 50,000. Do you know how many of those happen from the porn industry every year?
Very small.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Yeah. Zero, Michael Weinstein. Yeah. I mean, if we're getting real, like, point. So they're, you know, maybe one transmission the past, like, 12, like,
well,
0.111.
Guys, it sounds like to me that, you know, him and some other people in the state would like to shut down the porn industry. So let's talk about what the consequences of that are, should it happen. A, underground, and B, Nevada. Am I correct?
Absolutely. The main fear that I have as a performer is that when the industry has such stringent guidelines on it, when the work is criminalized. And, you know, we've had major World Health Organization, Amnesty International, a lot of human rights and public health organizations have come out recently recommending the decriminalization of sex work and saying that when you criminalize sex work of any kind, you make it more dangerous. You know, there's been all these studies done on it. And that same lesson can be applied here, that when you don't give people, there's going to be a demand for sex or for sex on camera without condoms. Right.
Right. Well, and sex on sex on demand in person, too. We just had Dennis Hoff on the other night, owner of the Bunny Ranch. Okay.
Right. Hookers
Dennis,
for Hillary.
And Dennis Hoff was making fun of San Francisco about, you know, and by the way, not funny fun, but the fact that sex trafficking was huge here in the Bay during the Super Bowl. I mean, the ladies of the night were, you know, flying in from around the world.
According to who, my dear?
According to Dennis Hoff?
Where'd you get this information?
Well, from Dennis, but his point is if it were legalized and monitored, you wouldn't have these people being brought in trafficking.
I do want to address that for a moment. I don't want to get too off track, but the myth around all the trafficking girls that come during the Super Bowl and the Olympics and these sports, that has been disproven by study, like a long time ago, like 2011. That is not a real thing.
You don't think prostitutes fly here to do illegal business?
Not in people are not trafficked in big vans and at the.
Well, I think you're thinking of trafficking like there's 50 human beings stuck in the back of a van. No, I don't think that.
Well, what I'm saying is that the headlines that come out anytime there's a big sporting event around trafficking are not based in reality. They are based on a moral crusade. I just want to put that out there. And that's been, you know.
Well, and of course, there are people out there who would like to have it legalized and cash in on it. Right.
Well, I think that what you'll find in the sex worker rights movement is that what sex workers themselves, again, when we talk about laws that are made about, we should listen to the people that it's going to affect, who it's going to affect their bodies. And so you see in the sex worker rights movement, people are arguing for decriminalization, not legalization, because the Nevada brothel system is ripe with exploitation. Dennis Hoff, I'm sorry. I'm sure he's a lovely individual, but there's not that legalization and regulation is not necessarily the way to get around to make things more safe.
Now, Michael, we got to wrap here in a minute, but Michael with kink.com. I mean, you know, you guys have one of the biggest industries here, part of that industry. And so what's next for you as you go towards the ballot initiative?
Well, we're going to fight it. I mean, I think that, you know, what we've had is a very strong and vocal performer community, which has been incredibly helpful in getting the word out about what's wrong with this. We have already started shooting in Nevada. I mean, not on a permanent basis, but
right.
We've gone out
just
to
in case,
explore.
Right?
We have done shoots. We don't want to leave San Francisco. You know, I think that part of our strength is that we come from a strong San Francisco BDSM tradition. We come from a strong San Francisco sex tradition in general. And it would
you
be
do,
hard
and you're correct
to...
about that, by the way.
What's that?
I said you do, and you are correct. Trust me.
And so yes, we don't want to leave the city.
Right.
You know, we have over 100 people who work in the Armory, and we have many, many more performers who come in and work for us in the Bay Area and from elsewhere. And to move that and try to pick up and move to Las Vegas would be difficult. However, if we're faced with a situation where the state is saying your performers have to do that, it's so antithetical to what we do. Our whole model is built on performer consent and, performer control. So to have someone else say you have to have your performers do this is really difficult for us. We wouldn't be able to sell the product, and we wouldn't be able to, or at least not in the volume, and we wouldn't be able to look ourselves in the eye.
Fantastic. All right. Well, let's keep up to date with this.
I
appreciate your time very much. Susie Q, you have your own, you're a sex columnist for San Francisco Weekly. You have your own podcast.
Yeah, thewhorecast.com. You can find me there. And please, I really want to urge everybody to, when you see it on the ballot in November, the Californians again and condom legislation, please vote
ridiculous.
No.
It'll be just tell us to vote no.
Vote no. Vote no.
Yeah,
we love you. Please vote no. Keep us safe.
All
I think
right.
One thing that can be done with this is if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Absolutely.
And Michael Stabile, keep up the good fight. I know you will.
All right. Thanks, Drex.
All right. Thanks, have a good night. Okay. We'll be back with the good news on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The voices in his head may not be real, but they have some really good ideas. The Drex Radio Show on KGO.
I may have stood on some speakers to dance to that. Just saying. I remember. Okay, Kesha. Oh, Kesha, Kesha, Kesha. What a hot mess this is. I think she needs to find a new attorney, but that's none of my business. So Kesha is in trouble with her record company. She lost her lawsuit against Dr. Luke, but a bunch of female singers have come to her back. I mean, that's cool, but I'm not sure this is going to work out correctly. Kesha cried in court when a judge refused to let her out of her contract with Sony because of her issues with Dr. Luke. That's her producer, at least for now. Kesha says he abused her in many ways over the past decade, include raping her in 2005. Now a lot of female singers are showing support for her on social media. Kesha cried in court on Friday after a judge refused to let her out of her six-album deal with Sony Records. For 2 years, she's been trying to get away from Dr. Luke. He's her former mentor and a big-time producer at Sony. She claims he's abused her sexually, physically, verbally, and emotionally for about a decade. In fact, she says he drugged and raped her shortly after her 18th birthday in 2005. And I think that's where we're going back to, you know, with the TikTok. Yeah. Let me see here. That was 5 years before they finally put out her debut album, Animal. He also produced her second album, Warrior, in 2012. The judge felt that Kesha didn't provide enough proof of Dr. Luke's abuse and noted that Sony is not forcing her to work with him. Although Kesha thinks that they won't promote her music unless she does. See, therein lies the grind. Just saying. In any event, a lot of female artists, as I mentioned, are, you know, at least supporting her on social media. Lady Gaga, Ariana Grande, Iggy Azalea, Kelly Clarkson, JoJo, Lorde, Demi Lovato, and Taylor Swift actually handed over a check for $250,000 because Kesha says she's broke. Yeah, that's nice.
Kesha Defense Fund.
Yeah, but, you know, this New York Supreme Court justice delivered this ruling, and he said, and it said, the contract stated that Kesha is required to record six more albums on top of the two she's already released. Animal was released in 2010. Warrior came out in 2012. And at that average production rate, Kesha could be locked into working with Sony and potentially her alleged abuser for the next 12 years of her musical career. I think that's a bunch of BS. Look, you know, so she owes them six albums. She needs to go in there and hammer out six albums. Now, again, back to the thing I call the rub. First of all, she should not have to work with that guy. And I would hope that the people at Sony would say, you know, let's just be chill about this. I mean, just the cost of the legal bills alone, that Taylor Swift money is going right out the window to lawyers.
Yeah, that's a drop in a bucket, right?
Yeah, right? Yes, for Hollywood law and music law and New York City law. I feel bad for her. But, you know, it's really important because a couple things happen here. If she goes back and just says, screw it, here's six albums, take it and...
That's really hard,
right.
though.
No.
I don't
you can't,
see
because
a girl doing that.
Because, no, you can't do that because you have to do your best. The best thing she could do is go back and make some hits.
Well, even her best.
Yeah. Do your best.
I think Sony needs to step in and be like really corporate responsibility here and like cut her some slack.
Right.
Try to make
everybody back off.
Lemonade out of these lemons. And get her a really good producer and apologize and say, hey, everybody, let's get together and make some money, blah, blah, blah. I think that's
hug
the only
out.
Way
hug
out.
Hug it out.
Yeah.
Hug it out, man. Yeah, because, you know, in order to, the next thing is, if she doesn't comply and she doesn't put out, I'm just my opinion, my opinion for whatever it's worth, you know, this obligation, and they won't let her out of her Sony contract. Well, it's a big corporation, man. So, you know, either you're going to cooperate and you're going to play the game and you're going to produce, or at least try your damnedest. Because if you don't, if you just throw garbage their way and then say, okay, well, there's your albums, I've completed the deal, no one else will hire you. I mean, it's a sticky wicket. This is,
I don't think she would do that. I mean, you know.
No, I don't think she would either.
A win-win-win would be a win-win-win. You know, like, do it for yourself. Sony's got to play. Everybody step up to the plate. Anyway, it's a very interesting case, and we will have legal analyst Mari Fagel on tomorrow.
I can't wait to talk. I love to talk about entertainment law because I'm in it. All right. You've been listening to the Drex Radio Show. Let's say hello and thank you to our great guest, Marty Nemko, our career coach. You hear him every Monday night at 8 o'clock, linked at KGORadio.com. And how fun was Susie Q? Loved her. And Michael Stabile from kink.com, all those things about Cal OSHA in the porn industry, just so ridiculous. So vote no in November on all of that garbage. Have a great night, and we'll make more. The John Bachelor Show is next on KGO 810.